We begin our service with these words. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Worship. Singing and thanking and music and praising and praying, seeing who God is and celebrating that. We worship because God is worth it. He is the great God. He is the King above all kings. He's the one who made us and made the whole world. The Lord is our God, and we are his people. And we're called to love and to worship and to celebrate God and his work in our hearts, in our lives, in our world. That's who we are, and that's what we do. But sometimes that's easy, and sometimes that is really, really hard. Just think about it. One Sunday morning, you are there at church, and all is well with the world. And in every song, your heart rises with joy and thanksgiving and praise. And it is good to thank God for who he is and for all he has done. And then Monday morning comes, and you get into your everyday, and something happens that drops a load of stress on you that you cannot escape from. Perhaps you're at work and your boss comes with this massive project and it's your job to make it all happen, and you know that you don't have the resources or the time to do so. A major accident happens in your home and suddenly you're faced with a huge amount of cleanup, all kinds of problems to cope with. And whatever that is, suddenly the anxiety and the worry and the stress washes over you. The next day is Tuesday, and all of that is still weighing on your mind and on your heart. And here you go in the midst of your everyday Tuesday, and every time someone speaks to you, you just want to bite their head off. And sometimes you do. When it comes to making good and bad decisions, you have very little left in you. After all, you didn't sleep the night before. You have nothing left in you to help you make the right decision, and so sometimes you don't. Wednesday wakes up, and now you're in the midst of your family, and it seems like everybody is arguing about something. Nothing is going right. Everything is going wrong. You had to go to a family gathering with that family member that you just can't be with for more than 5 minutes. And it's just squabble, squabble, squabble the whole time. Thursday, you're back at work and realize that everything went so badly the last 2 days, you haven't even touched that project that you have to fix. And just moment by moment, the stress and anxiety and worry start to build. By Friday, you're ready to kick it all out the window and just stomp your feet and say, I don't want to do this anymore. Saturday, now you're in a squabble with your neighbor about the planter that they left on your side of the driveway. Everything is going wrong. And Sunday morning hits, and it's 11 a.m., and you stomp your way into the church. And here it's time to worship. Won't it be marvelous? Aren't you just ready to sing and pray and praise? It'll be awful. It's just going to be frankly awful. Our wandering hearts make it hard to worship. It's not just us that found that. Folks in the Bible did too. If we had read the rest of Psalm 95, we would have heard these beautiful verses in 6 and 7 that we read. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. Those were the days when the Israelites stood up and said, no thanks, we're not going into the promised land. God brought us all this way. We don't trust Him. We're out. Don't harden your hearts like you did that day when your ancestors tested me. They tried me, even though they had seen what I had done. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. And so I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. People whose hearts go astray, or like the hymn put it, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Our wandering hearts make it hard to worship. But that's where the scriptures keep coming to our rescue. In Colossians, we read, since then you have been raised with Christ. Actually, we didn't read. This is what happens just before, what Beth read for us in Colossians. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, all the stuff we see and experience. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. The Colossians were struggling with broken, divided relationships. They would have understood what it was like to get to the family gathering and have people there that they really had trouble spending time with, or to get to the middle of the church service and find the same thing. But even in the midst of that division, Christ had rescued them, and they had the promise of His presence now and forever. God was bigger than their wandering hearts. The Philippians, some of my favorite verses ever about anxiety and worry and God's peace. So they knew what it was like to be worried. They knew what it's like to be stressed and anxious and overwhelmed. As I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like His glorious body. Even when faced with people and situations that were going to cause them stress and anxiety, Jesus had everything under control. The scriptures tell us again and again, God is bigger than our wandering hearts. Every story of disobedience, every story of division, every story of anxiety that you will find in the Bible, and you will find that Jesus is the hero, that God steps in because God is bigger. In fact, our wandering hearts, they do make it hard for us to worship. All of those things that we experience, our own disobedience, our own conflicts, our own worries, they make it hard to worship. But here's the thing. Worship is actually the answer to the problem. If disobedience and division and anxiety are the poison, then worship is the antidote. God heals our hearts through praise and prayer and music and thanksgiving. Let me read from Colossians again. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude to God in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Division, conflict, squabbles, arguments, let Christ's peace rule in you. And let Christ's word dwell among you as you teach each other with psalm and scripture, music and praise, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. In other words, sing and praise God with grateful, thankful hearts. And Jesus will help you to be at peace with one another. Or Ephesians, verses very much like that. This is Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 12 and then 15 to 20. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Disobedience, big sins, small sins, the kind of heart that just makes you want to turn away, then be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and music. Sing, make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. And God's Spirit will help you to live in God's way. The antidote to our wandering hearts. And Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, and that means when you do feel anxious and worried, in every single situation, by prayer and petition, that's asking for help, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety, worry, stress, rejoice because God is near. And when you are anxious, pray and ask God for help and thank God for his help. And God's peace will guard your heart from worry and anxiety and even stress. Worship is the antidote to our wandering hearts. God heals our hearts through praise and prayer and thanksgiving. When our hearts have wandered, and they will, we are still on this side of heaven, and we still are going to have times when our hearts are prone to wander. When we are disobedient, here's the promise. We can experience God's forgiveness. And we respond to God with worship. with praise, with prayer, with thanksgiving. When we face conflict and division, whether we've made it or somebody else has or somewhere in between, when we face division, we can experience God's restoration. That's the promise. And we respond to Him with worship, with praise, and with prayer, and with thanksgiving. When we are stressed and anxious and worried, here's the promise. We can experience God's peace. And we respond to Him through worship, with praise and prayer and thanksgiving. This is the antidote to our broken hearts. We worship because God is worth it. And in the midst of it, God, who loves us, heals our hurting. So what does it look like? What does it look like not just on Sunday mornings? Sunday mornings is good. We gather, we worship whether we feel like it or not, and as we do, we help each other to worship in the good times and in the bad times. We pray for what's real and raw and hurting. We praise God by saying what's true and wonderful about Him. We thank God for the ways that He has answered prayer and for the things that we have seen Him do in our world and in our lives. Sunday morning is key and important, but it's not enough. Our worship happens in the everyday in between, in the midst of the problem at home, in the midst of the problem at work, in the midst of everything that is going wrong. Here we are as God's people, and we worship. It might look like picking one time of day to ask yourself three questions, or do three things. Tell God what you are thankful for. Tell God something you need. And tell God something about Him that makes you glad. If you're a morning person, that might be when you first get out of bed in the morning or with your first cup of coffee. Some of you might find yourself doing that as you lie down in bed to go to sleep. Or perhaps when it's time to say the grace around a meal table. Some of you might like to do it with a pen and a journal in your hand, and others just with words in your heart. But here is one possible way of helping you to worship every day. Tell God something you're thankful for. Tell God something you need. And tell God something about you, Him, that gives you great joy. And then we'll gather together every Sunday. And we'll do basically the same thing here. We will tell God what we are thankful for. We will tell God the things that we need. We will tell God the things about Him that give us great joy. See, that's worship in a nutshell. We bring our thanksgiving. We bring our hurts and our fears and our requests. And we bring our praises because we are God's worshiping people who respond to Him with worship, with singing and praise, with prayer and thanksgiving. That's who we are. That's what we do. So let's praise God together right now as we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful. Thank you that you meet us in the midst of our mess, that you know our wandering hearts, and you bind them to yourself. Please help us when we face division, when we are disobedient, when we are trying to cope with worry. Please help us. Thank you, God, that you are bigger. We praise you because you are God on high, bigger than our problems, bigger than our hurts, worthy of all of our worship. And so today, as we bring our thanksgiving and our requests and our praises to you, we worship you. Thank you for making us your people. Thank you for being our God. In your name, amen.